smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
We're looking forward to this for a long time. Got great respect for these young men that are just forging their way. They're not that young, actually. Just asked them. I thought Calculating Cal was 23. He just told us he's 32.
Young 32.
We have got Kel Toomey and Riley Beveridge from AFL.com.au, who were part of a triumvirate of the AFL Exchange podcast, which I discovered by accident, it has to be said, but then became a very regular listener. And we're great fans of their work. They know the draft inside out. That's the next big thing on the AFL agenda. So we thought, get them in the studio. Maybe a succession plan in place. I'm not sure. Welcome, boys. Great to have you.
G'day, guys. Thank you for having us.
How are we? Hey, just good to see you, Gaz, again.
Thank you, Calculating.
Tim, you were like this, because I was the last time I saw Gary, I was in Perth. I was lucky enough to go to Perth.
Right.
And it was the day before the grand final, and we're up at Crown Casino filming a little show. We just got ushered in and out. Gary, though, I've never seen a man take up the breakfast central up at the
He said, look, it's interesting you should say that, Cal.
Calculating bounced out of the blocks with a little backhander straight up.
It's interesting that Calculating should say that, because that's exactly what Gary said when he got back from Perth. He said, wish you got no idea how big I am over there. And there's the confirmation right there.
Riley,
right there.
What happens with the – how did – Calculating, get over to Perth, and you were holding the fort back here.
Oh, but someone's got to do it back here. I mean,
that's true.
Left on us while he takes a holiday.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he wasn't occupied. He's the man that loves a free meal more than anyone.
Yeah. No, he was dagging around behind Damo. That was his problem. He couldn't get any clear air. I haven't talked to you since then, but unbelievable. Unbelievable time over there, wasn't it?
It was great. It was great. I actually was in the press box, obviously, and the press box is a fantastic facility, as you know, over there. And I could actually see Gary and the Melbourne crew just in front of me. So it was quite interesting. You were there with the president, obviously, and Gary Pird, and John Worsfold was down in your aisle as well. I remember looking down when Marcus Bontempelli snapped that goal halfway through the third, and the whole ache of that group looked pretty significant.
Might have been a small slump.
Pretty phenomenal game, though, wasn't it? It was a privilege to be there, and we were pretty lucky to get over, weren't we?
Tell us how you two started in this, Caper, because, and I do say this seriously, we're big fans and we love what you do, and the AFL Exchange is a podcast, it's great, but you've got your own shows on the big platform, which is afl.com.au. You're 27, Ryan Leibel?
You're 28.
Well, you made it. You got a nickname off the Wisp, so now you know you've made it. How did it all start?
I started about 3 or 4 years ago at the AFL, and obviously the AFL Exchange at the time was already a thing. It was already an established product with Cal and Nick Bowen and Matt Thompson and a few others there, but then a couple of them joined you and someone else that we used to know at Channel 7.
Oh, yeah.
And,
don't even go into that territory there, boys.
You shall not be named.
So we had to start up something new and fresh with the AFL Exchange podcast. And, we started we've got 3 seasons now, isn't it, Kel? So sort of taken off after that. We changed format. We gave it a fresh new taste and tried to angle it towards a younger audience. And it's done well.
Done very well. And Calculating, how long have you been at the AFL?
It's probably been the only job I've ever really had, Tim and Gary. Yeah, I started work experience at the Footy Record a long, long time ago and never really left. That was a Jeff Slattery Publishing at that point.
You were selling them outside the MCG? Is that where you started?
Then I finally got a little bit of a column in there, then started writing.
Record!
That's it. And then obviously AFL Media became its own entity at that point in 2011, 2012. And that's when everyone came on board in-house, and then the AFL draft opportunity opened up, and since then we've sort of taken that with both hands.
So do you feel like you're living every kid's – you're not kids. I keep saying kids, but you were when you started, essentially. Mm. But you're living everyone's dream. You're working in the sport that you love and you're passionate about, and your job is going out talking to footy players. I mean, there'd be people – young guys listening here going, how do I get a piece of that?
Yeah, I was at Gosh's paddock yesterday watching a couple of players do some stuff for some draft content that we're doing, and it was quite interesting. You're there on Wednesday afternoon in a beautiful Melbourne day thinking this is work. So there's some great parts of it, as you know. Look, it's a long season, and the season's getting longer and longer as the years go on, and there's AFLW thrown into it now, and then the draft goes through to December. So it's long and arduous, but no, we're pretty lucky and we get to do some pretty cool stuff along the time too.
You've been on the journey though too of how big this whole sort of trading period's become and the draft period. Did you see this a long way out?
I did, because I'm a big follower of US sports and European sports, and it's always been massive over there. And I used to find it fascinating when I was 15, 16, watching Premier League and watching these players get transferred for millions of pounds, and you're thinking, this is awesome. Like, I'd love this sort of player movement in Australia because that's what captures your attention. Back then, the side I followed wasn't that great, so it's what gave you a bit of hope, and you think, this is what fills fans with hope. So I've enjoyed it. Like, this year in particular, it wasn't the most blockbuster trade period you'll find, I think, but just being able to sort of satisfy supporters over 2 weeks and knowing that they're coming for that content, I think it's really good, and it's only going to grow from here as well and becomes more sort of prominent.
And examining the strategies behind it all, though, too, I mean, that's still one of the fascinating parts about the game, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to speak to people to get that, don't
that's
you?
Right.
And you have to get there.
You've got to build relationships to get to that point to be able to speak to them.
I was saying last week, I mean, looking back at the trade period, it's not as easy as just getting to the Monday after the grand final and calling out people and saying, all right, who's going where? Tell us who you're picking up. Are you going to recontract him or what are you going to do there? That takes years and years to get to the point where there's some trust involved there. So, yes, there's that. And then the strategy comes into it, and it's getting more strategic too. So it's getting more and more evolved. And we wrote about this, we've spoken about it on afl.com.au as well. Like, the trade period is such a beast now. There's future picks, there's points, there's payments. It's getting more and more intricate. And the people who do it well are really, really smart and can see the next thing two or three steps ahead. So it's trying to keep up with that to some degree as well.
Our boss, Craig Hutchison, who started Trade Radio, has had a massive part in all this too, in terms of driving interest and traffic, which continues to grow. You've all been a part of it. Who are the big winners? I mean, all our audience want to know who in your own minds were the winners from the trade period, and then we'll get stuck into the draft because they're flying through all these questions for these people out there, the fans who want to know about the younger kids coming through. But who was the winner from trade period?
I liked Freo.
Did you?
I think I've said this a number of times, but I think it's easy to win the trade period when you've lost an asset, and they lost Adam Chera. So, but I thought what they got back, you end up with three top 20 picks, two of them inside the top eight. Mm. You get two pretty good players in Jordan Clark and Will Brody. I think they've managed to turn what they lost from Adam Chera into something that's going to sustain them for a long time. And they might look to package 6 and 8 and get even higher than that and get a real blue chip prospect in the draft. So I think what they've done, how they've managed to sort of sustain their list, even though they've lost a really good player, I think that's going to set them on the right path.
Obviously, Chera goes to Carlton and they did really well. They pick up Lewis Young and managed to beef up their midfield with George Hewitt too. But the one that I think goes on under the radar a little bit, at the start of the trade period, everyone's looking at Collingwood and going, how on earth are they going to have enough points to match Nick Daicos? They've got this, this and this. They traded out their first pick, which hasn't worked in the end, but they've done some really good work over the past 3 weeks to not only pick up stacks and stacks of points to be really comfortable to match the bid, but also then go and get Lipinski, who's a good player. Kruger, we don't know much about yet, but they picked him up and targeted him as a key forward. So I like what they did, and there's still more to come with the Pies too, because I reckon they'll trade their first pick again and see if they can move some more points. So not their future first, their first pick at the moment, which is about 36 or 37.
12 months is a long time in footy. Mm. If you're in here this time last year, I'm not sure Collingwood will get the big tick over draft period.
That's part of the plus, isn't it? Like, you resurrect what you did last year and you can turn it around pretty quickly.
As your reputations grow in this industry, are you conscious of the fact that there might be some clubs out there that are using you with information they may be planting in your direction to put out there at different times?
I'm conscious of that every day, especially in the lead up of the draft. I'm always, and there's been some list managers in the past that
lent heavily.
Well, no, I always sort of second guess why something's being told to me.
I've got this for you. No one else has got it.
Exactly. I'll tell you, the one we're interested in. Yeah. Do you really expect me to go and tweet that? There's a bit of that.
So is recruiting ever, I mean, as we're about to find out, there's nothing in this draft that you two don't know about. Is there approaches to be a recruiter? Have you ever had one? Either of you?
I'm worried about him.
There's been a couple of discussions here and there, but it's not something right now that I'd be interested in just yet. But look, who knows what the future holds? It's people come from very different backgrounds to recruiting. Look at the Melbourne recruiting manager, who's arguably the best in the business, Jason Taylor. He was an air conditioning mechanic and a fridgie. So that sort of started his pathway. He built his way up to be the best in it at the moment. Everyone's come from different pathways, so there's not a handbook, but. No. It's an interesting occupation for sure.
We can't keep up with all the messages, so it might be best to ring and ask these boys, because I literally cannot keep up with what's going on at the moment. So 1-300-736-736, ring up and fire a question at these two. Here's one. Yarra Valley Grammar skipper Judson Clark caught my eye in an AGSV game early in 2021. And that's the thing. There hasn't been a lot of exposed form. We get that. What say you about this boy?
Yeah, we had a great game mid-year. playing for Vic Country, kicked 5 goals in a practice game against Vic Metro there, and that was really his big moment. And unfortunately that day for him, he got overshadowed because Sam Darcy kicked 6.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a good performance as a half forward. Yeah, he's somewhere in the 20 to 30 mark, I think.
Should Jason Horn Francis, I have to look at his name because I've mispronounced his song.
Called him Jason Smith, Horn Francis Smith. He's mucked it up 8 times. So
the Hornet. Should he be the clear number one draft pick at this?
I think so. I think his body of work in senior footy. I mean, you saw what he did in the prelim, 24 touches, 3-3. I think a couple of them hit the post as well. So he could have finished with 24 and 5. At senior footy, to do that as an 18-year-old is pretty remarkable. I think, obviously, Nick Dacos has had a fantastic season. And it's a bit of a shame that we haven't got to see Nick Dacos have the type of season that we saw Sam Walsh have because of the COVID-interrupted season in Victorian footy. So he didn't have the championship campaign. He didn't have his entire NAB League campaign. I reckon if he had have had that, maybe it would have been more of a dogfight for that pick one. And maybe North Melbourne might have had more of a decision to make. Obviously, if he's on the open market as well, it would have been more of a decision make for the Kangaroos as well. But I think given the variables and the context behind it, I think that Horn Francis is the number one.
What about put this to you? Because this was put to me the other day. Like, he's 180, I think 180 or 181, smallish for a midfielder. This is the contrary view about him being the number one pick. Okay, everybody gets excited because you see him play in the sample. A lot of other players haven't had the opportunity to expose their form in the same way. Do you think there's hype around this kid too that maybe elevating him to a position that maybe is going to be to the detriment of someone else that's going to be overlooked?
No, he wants it. He wants it. And look, there's even Scotty Clayton today or yesterday of the North Q&A. I think he said he's Dusty Martin, he's Michael Voss. And look, clearly there's a pumping up the tyres of him. And
see,
with
he's
good
as
reason.
Good a number one as any player I can remember. That's from Scott Clayton.
Well, he's been around a long time.
He has. Look, I'd love to, Riley said, Nick Dacos. I personally have Nick Dacos ahead in terms of pound for pound players, but we know that he's off the market. So as Riley said, if it was head
to head. So you're saying Dacos could be every bit as good?
Oh yeah, I mean I've ranked Dacos the number one throughout the year. I think the discussion, and it's we might never be able to separate them. It might always be like Pendlebury v. Selwood or Hodge v. Judd or these type of things. Bontempelli v. Dangerfield. Like how do you change or separate these guys? But to me, Dacos is the Bontempelli of this year's group. Maybe a little bit shorter. He's a bit shorter, but that's how he plays. And then there's Horn Francis, who's the Dangerfield. So they're very different players. Unfortunately, you're not ever going to be able to match them up perfectly. And they're going to different clubs at different spots. So, but it's a great debate and that they're both competitive and hugely talented. So, yeah, open draft, it would have been fascinating to see, one, who went number one, but also, two, how the bids were coming in for that top pick, because obviously we've wrote about Adelaide and Richmond offering huge offers for number one. Would they have done differently or gone for number two if the two guys were on the open pool, but not to be?
Impressive start from these two. Would Kelby, you'd be the Wisp, and Riley, you'd have to be the Garrity, if that's where it goes. Cal and Riley here for Toro Mowers, powered by 100 years of innovation. Whether you need to trim, blow, cut or mow, it's Toro for everyone. AFL.com.au is a place where you can hear them and see them and read them. They're with us, though, for the next 15 or 20 minutes. So keep sending them through. I'm not sure we're going to get through all of them, but we might have to do a club by club just so everyone gets happy. So sit there, sit tightly, boys. And we've also got a quiz for them too, Wisp, because...
Yes, we have.
If we are contemplating, you know, in time, they've got to know beyond 2000. Right? We know that they've got footy covered from 2000, but they've got to be able to go back in time.
Way back in time.
Yes.
Way back in time. We've got some good Garrity questions to ask.
See how good they are shortly. But in the meantime, let's get to sports bet.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Got a Maasai warrior that's rung about 12 times trying to get through. Sorry, mate. You've been blocked for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. Righto. Now, I can't get through all of them, but the obvious, the well-known names we're trying to leave, but this is a snapshot of some of the names of people have been texting through. So just jump in if you know these boys and where they're from and who might be looking at them. Mitch Nevitt.
Yeah, taller midfielder, Geelong Falcons. We wait and see. Geelong have a stack of picks in the 20s, so maybe they can have a look at him.
Jake Soligo.
Smaller midfielder. He's a little bit like Trent Bianco, I think, from the Eastern Rangers. I reckon he gets picked in the second round, though.
Josh Ward.
I like him. Classy midfielder, inside, outside, nice balance. I reckon he's Brighton Hawthorns mix, so that pick five.
Ooh. For their first pick?
Yes.
Ooh. Wow. Blake Howes?
Yeah, he's a wingman from the Sandu Dragons.
Tall, is he?
190 centimetres, pretty athletic. He's somewhere around the 30 mark for me.
Josh Wrench?
Monkey Wrench? Yeah, he's...
Monkey Wrench.
Monkey.
Foo Fighters song.
I tell you, they got more than just footy wisp. They got a little bit of breakfast about them.
You
got
to have a little bit more than the footy, Gary, as you well know. I've said to you many times.
He's a big key forward, strapping lad from the Ballarat region, and kicks it a mile. He reminds me a little bit of
Jacob Kaczynski.
Bit of that, bit of Tim Rembry. Like, he just gets the ball and clunks it and kicks goals.
Won the medal, didn't he?
He won the league medal. The Morris medal.
Did he? The monkey wrench.
Yep. So he's probably a second half of the draft prospect.
I call him monk. Judson Clark.
Yeah, we spoke about him before. He's that left footer. Classy player, finisher. That's the finish. It's just when he gets the ball inside 50, he's going to kick it.
Can't have enough good kickers in your team.
Paul Curtis.
Big fan of Paul Curtis. Now, he's a little bit of a wild card for me. Right. We talk about that game that Judson Clark played mid-year. Well, Curtis that day kicked four as well and was outstanding as a sort of nifty small forward. Just takes his opportunities. So, one to keep an eye on there from the Western Jets.
If Luke Darcy's boy Sam wasn't going father-son, where would you have him?
I think the Giants would probably take him at pick two.
Wow.
Given their list demographic and their key forwards, they don't have that many now. They've moved out Finlayson, Jeremy Cameron goes. He's the best key forward in it. Max King of this year's draft.
Okay, I've heard, mate, potentially ruck. He's not a ruckman though, is he?
He hasn't rucked much.
No. Centre forward, centre back.
He's played back, hasn't he?
He's 204 centimetres, so he has to
be athletic.
Yeah, and I watched him play a fair bit for Scotch this year before the season got cut short, obviously, and he was doing some crazy stuff.
We're hearing the old man might be a bit of a problem here, though.
we want to interview him, but there seems to be some sort of a price being put on him by maybe his dad, so we'll have to chat.
What about draftees and dads that have the same haircut?
Yes.
So they've both got the mullet going.
That is a very interesting pickup. That is a very interesting pickup.
Joby, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and the Wisp. Don't worry about that. Arthur Jones, who's the nephew of the Cracker Brothers.
Yeah, and he come on the scene late. It was the grand final day. I don't know if you were there early enough to watch the curtain raiser.
Early enough.
He had a couple of appointments.
he was doing some gigs for shoots at that stage of the day. Don't worry about that.
He didn't leave off the stadium from about Thursday onwards, I think. Look, he was part of that curtain raiser, and he was outstanding as a small forward, so he's shot onto the scene very late.
Ben DeBolfo, is that any relation to Tony?
Nephew, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah.
All the Blues, are they having a sniff or not?
They should be. He'd be in the ear, wouldn't he? The historian there. Look, he's a key back, pretty versatile and a hard at it player.
Yusuf Dibb, our last one. And as I apologise, there's about 1,000 that have come through, but Yusuf Dibb.
Collingwood Academy player. I like him. He's smaller type, but gets around the ground well. Still a bit of a question mark as to whether the Pies will commit to him at the moment. They haven't. Still working through that, I think.
Riley's a Carlton man, so I just want to fire this question off the text. Carlton, their first pick around 25.
I was actually thinking this last night, who could be in that range. Maybe it might be like a Sam Butler or a Zach Taylor, one of these forward half players. They did have a look around at a couple during the trade period and didn't really identify anyone.
Right.
So I'd look at those two names if they're still there. At that
stage, a key forward type player?
No, smaller type. Small, so Sam Butler and Zach Taylor are both smaller players that can provide a bit of pressure forward. Neither of them are that quick, but they're smart, tough players in the forward line.
Give us your feedback on these two as a potential succession plan for the Wisp and Garrity for breakfast. We like to see the feedback. It's pretty positive at the moment, Wisp.
Very, very,
we've got
very
the,
positive.
Got the quiz. We might have to hold them over and we'll do the quiz after the 8:30 news headlines. So our own teams, let's just put our own teams first. So Essendon, what are they going to do at the draft?
Well, they don't come into it until 11, which becomes 13 once those two bids come in. Oh, look, they're in a good spot, I think, to take a good player. I think they should be looking hard at Neil Erasmus as a taller midfielder, 188 centimetres from Western Australia, a competitor, takes marks over. He's not the best kicker of the group, but he's an absolute beast around the ball. And, you know, Tim, that's a midfield that's got Parrish, McGrath, Merritt. Mm. They need a little bit of bigger body help. We saw that probably in the elimination final. So he's one I think they should look at. The other WA kid I reckon they should be thinking about pretty hard is Jai Amos, who's a key forward. We haven't spoken about him. 196 centimetres. He's kicked 50-plus goals in the Colts competition this year. If he gets there, it's pretty hard to get a key forward. The only ways clubs get really good key forwards are either buy him down the track or get him top 10 picks, or if they're father-sons and get lucky enough there. So if he's there on the board, I think he's the guy that you have to take. You know, the key forward space at the Bombers is probably still a work in progress. He would be one that I'd be looking at.
Demons, what, they got themselves into 17?
Yeah. They're in a little bit of a wait and see at that point. I think the names that could be around that mark is Sam Butler that we spoke about before. Riley, the younger brother of Dan Butler, he's a really good player and probably more complete player than Dan at the same age. Zach Taylor, is he at that point? Look, I like that position of the draft. I actually think that, we were saying before off air, it's the eye of the beholder, second part of the first round. There's some real names that will pop up, I think.
And quickly, and then we'll get our quiz to find out whether you just got anything before 2000. Richmond and Gold Coast, so I want to know, is there a deal being done there, Richmond trying to get to the fourth pick of the Gold Coast Suns?
Yeah, well, Gold Coast have been open to moving, but they don't have the need to get any extra picks in for this year because they've only got the list spots available for one new spot. So they're at pick 3. Gold Coast have Richmond have pick 7 and pick 15 and a stack of picks in the 20s. Richmond are definitely trying to get up if they can and package up, whether it's with the Crows at pick 4, the Suns at pick 3 or the Giants at pick 2. That's a bit of a watch this space closer to the draft.
Oh, I love it. So let's just sit tight. We've got the big quiz. So you've passed all the tests so far, but the big
get worried about this.
Quiz to find out whether they really know their footy. That's coming up after 8:30 news headlines. Sure, this is great news for you and I, Wiz, but can they start tomorrow, Gazza, is one of the messages that's come through. No, we're just thinking long term because we're about succession planning. Might be 10 years, might be 10 minutes.
This was news to me when Gary threw up the whole succession
plan. They need to know the quiz answers, though, before we can really start to. So this is pre-2000. Here we go. You can do it together. Which was the first non-Victorian team to win an AFL premiership?
West Coast.
West Coast.
All right, no problem.
Bonus points, what year?
92.
There you go. Who snapped the winning point in the final minute to give St Kilda its first flag in 1966?
It would have been Barry Breen.
So I hope these are some hard questions out here, Trentos, because these boys are like the Rain Man style. Who cleaned up Dermot Brereton in the opening seconds of the 89 grand final?
Was it Yates?
What year was the grand final held at Waverley and which two sides played?
I think that was 91, wasn't it? 91. With West Coast and Hawthorn?
Very easy questions. How many goals and points did Gary kick in the 1994 semi against Footscray?
Rolls, you were talking about this earlier.
I want to say 6-2.
Riley, you've just cost yourself any role at this joint. 6-2 in the first half.
Listen to that roar
for
Gary Lyon.
Okay, that's a fail. In what year was the grand final without a Victorian team involved and which two teams played?
Wait, the first one?
The first grand final without a Victorian team. And in what year?
04? Brisbane and Port?
Brisbane
Port, yeah. Well, you're going all right. This is one. How many kicks did the Wisp have in the 83 grand final?
Not many Bombers had too many kicks that day, did they, Tim?
No. I had a lot of handballs.
I'll go with...
a lot of tackles.
I'll go with 12.
Riley?
4.
Both wrong.
How many do I have, Gary?
2.
Magnificent by Watson.
Which Pies player threw his runners-up medal away in 1981 after Collingwood lost its third grand final in 3 years? Which Collingwood player threw his medal away?
In 1981.
In 1981.
No, I don't know that one.
That's a tough question.
It's a good question, though. That's this is the sort question. Of stuff you need to know.
Yeah, but would you have known it?
Mick McGowan?
100% I knew it. Of course I knew it. It's just famous. This is why runners-up medals were... passé after this. They said, well, what's the good of giving him if Peter Moore's going to throw his medal into the crowd? Who did Robert DiPiedomenico elbow? Was that Windy Hill?
No, that was at Princess Park.
At Princess Park.
Right on the halftime siren.
Against Essendon, the halftime siren.
Was it Kevin Walsh?
Not that day. No, that was. He got him in the grand final.
Sorry, different one.
That was Alan Stone. Very nice. The 94 final is probably going to put you under some sort of pressure, reliable.
Did you ever get to Windy Hill? Because you're a mad Bomber fan,
no,
Kel.
No, I didn't miss it.
No, you missed all those days.
I went out there plenty of times to watch some trainings and get some autographs out the back, but no, I missed those days.
Oh, they were the days. Okay. Have you been watching the Docker, the SN Docker?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, been good so far.
Stay on the, I think, can you hang around?
Yeah, we can.
I'm making an executive call. You can do some questions without notice with us because the Wisp and I are a little bit jaded. We needed some help. It's important to buy Australian right now. Australia, mate, look for the logo. Be sure it's Aussie. A four-way question without notice off. That's up next.